It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
Hello, Jack.
Tell me, Mrs. Collins, where were you two this time?
This adventure, Jack, took place down south, outside of New Orleans. I call the story White Plumes, Red Blood. And it occurred in a small town on the Mississippi. Any psychologist will tell you there's a fascinating connection between the human equation and the weather. Greg and I were staying over in this southern town. We were ready to go on to New Orleans. It was devilishly hot. It was sticky and humid, and our clothes were damp. Hot weather's tied up with crime. The graph line shoots up when the mercury does. We were in our hotel room. Our grips were packed.
I'll get it. Hello?
Mr. Collins?
Yeah?
My name's Roland. I'm the Commissioner of Health.
Yes, Mr. Roland.
I understand you're a private detective.
That's right.
I've just got to see you, sir, right away.
My wife and I were just leaving town.
Well, this won't take long. And you might save someone's life.
Why don't you go to the police?
I have my reasons.
Well, I have space on the 840 part plane, though.
Could you just meet me for 5 minutes?
Well, I...
It might be worth $500 to you.
Where are you?
You meet me at... Well, there's a bar down by the waterfront. It's called Jimmy's. I'll be waiting there. It's on River Avenue.
How'll I know you?
Well, I'm kind of short, kind of stout. Wearing a gray suit and straw hat.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I don't fail me now. Someone may be killed.
I'll see you at Jimmy's. Bye.
Bye.
Got another case?
Uh-huh.
Well, where are you going?
A waterfront, a dive named Jimmy's.
Take me with you?
No.
Well, why not, Greg?
They say the waterfront in this paradise of the Old South is a good place to cash in on your life insurance.
I waited in our hotel room. Greg ambled down to the docks. It was pitch black. He strolled on the narrow cobblestone streets, past silhouette of river barges. Greg saw a filthy corner bar room where a broken sign announced that this pest hole was Jimmy's. He walked in. It was deserted, except for the bartender and a short, stout man sitting at a corner table.
Commissioner Roland?
Yes. You Collins?
That's right.
I'm sorry to have made you come here, but it's out of the way. It's better for us if it's out of the way. You want a drink?
Yeah, man.
Well, we'll have to get them ourselves. No waiters in here.
I'll do it.
Bartender?
Yeah?
Silver Fizz.
How about your friend?
I forgot to ask you. Be right back.
Okay. I hope you got small change. I can't take any big bills. Business has been crammy all night.
Hey, bartender.
Well, did you ask him?
Uh-huh.
What'll he have to drink?
He's not thirsty anymore. Somebody just threw a knife into him.
Commissioner of Health Roland had a knife in his heart. Someone had thrown it through the open window in Jimmy's bar. But keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story. Well, Greg called the police, and while they staged a routine investigation, Greg came back to our hotel room, waiting for development.
I'd think this was just another small-town political squabble, Gail, but it isn't.
Why do you say that?
Whoever threw that knife also tossed this in through the window, this little white feather.
Where did you find it?
On the table, in front of Roland's body.
Holding evidence from the police, huh?
Temporarily. By the time they get through with the red tape, we might have the answer to the $64 question.
Think there are any fingerprints on it?
No, the killer wouldn't be that stupid.
What do you think it means?
Well, it's a corny thing to do. Very melodramatic. I'd say it means the killer's off his trolley. Eccentric. Come in.
Mr. Collins?
Right.
I'm Don Martin, secretary to Mayor Randall.
Oh, come in, won't you? This is my wife, Gail.
How do you do?
Hello.
The mayor would like to see you. He says he wants you on this case personally.
Let me say why.
Not to me, but he made it clear why it's so urgent. He said...
Yeah?
He thinks Roland's death was only the first in the series. He said, we'll be watching people die like ducks in a shooting gallery.
Greg sauntered over to the mayor's office. The mayor was a pleasant, heavy-set chap with a smile that explained why he was successful in politics. He stopped smiling when he got down to the facts.
Collins?
Yes, Mr. Randall?
I couldn't tell this to Don Martin, my secretary. In fact, I couldn't tell it to anyone but you. We're fortunate to have you in town.
Go ahead.
The lives of three more men in this town are in great danger. My own life, particularly.
Do you know what's at the bottom of it?
I think so. 15 years ago, in this town, we had a district attorney named Fraser. While he was in office there was a state investigation of misuse of city funds. Money for improving highways. Well, it turned out that Fraser was the guilty man.
Why are you digging this up?
Well, I and three other officials of the city government testified against Fraser. We didn't relish the job, but we had no choice. He was sentenced to 20 years. His son was in the courtroom at the time. When the verdict was pronounced, the boy jumped up and screamed, I'll get every one of you for this. I'll kill you.
Where is he now?
I don't know where he is. He went away to school, disappeared out west, and, well, nothing's been heard of him in the past 13 or 14 years.
And you think he's come back here to get you and your friends?
I'm sure of it. Roland, the man who died in that bar room last night, was one of the four men who testified.
How can you be sure it's the boy who's come back?
The emblem of Thomas Fraser's political party was a white plume. I received an anonymous envelope this morning with a small white feather in it.
That's very interesting. You think you'd recognize this boy now?
I doubt it. A man changes a lot in that time.
Got any good leads as to his whereabouts?
None.
Whatever became of the father?
Tom Fraser hung himself in his cell.
I see.
You've got to stay here in town, Collins. You've got to stay with me. I may be next. I want you to be my bodyguard until we find that boy. I'll pay you whatever you want.
Bruce, the car's downstairs. Are you ready?
Yes, Marion. Mr. Collins, my wife.
How do you do?
Hello. You the detective they've all been talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, for once, the gossip's told the truth. You are handsome.
So my wife tells me.
Oh, your wife, huh? They didn't tell me that part of it. Coming to the house with us?
What house?
I have a house not too far out of town. It's much more comfortable than this office. On very hot days like this, I often take my stuff and work out there. You'll have to come with me, Collins.
But Gail, my wife...
Well, bring your wife along. We'd love to have her.
Oh, yes, the more the merrier. My husband and I are at the plantation alone. It's very dull.
Did you invite Sherman, Marion?
Yes.
Sherman's commissioner of parks and playgrounds, Collins. One of the four gentlemen I told you about. I think he's a colossal bore.
Sherman fascinates me.
Who doesn't?
Shall we go out to your house? It's probably cooler out there.
Greg picked me up and we went to the mayor's mansion. Don Martin, the mayor's secretary, was there, with Marion, the mayor's wife, His Honor himself, and Commissioner Sherman. We had a delicious dinner, and the mayor persuaded us to stay overnight. The whole party did. Late that night, Greg and I had gone out under the trees for a last look at the moon before going to bed. Do you think there are people on the moon, Greg?
Oh, surely. They have magnolia trees, and they stand by them at night and look down here, and they say, do you think there are people on the earth?
Do you think there are two people up there who love each other as much as we do?
I don't know. How much do you love me?
Give me a good night kiss, and I'll show you.
Okay.
No, wait. Somebody will see us.
Where?
There's a man lying in that hammock just behind us. He looks like Commissioner Sherman.
Yeah, it is Sherman. But he won't mind.
Why not?
He's dead.
Greg was right. He could see a long knife sticking into Sherman's back. Of course, in the dead commissioner's lap, there was a white feather. The second of the four politicians was gone. The next morning, the mayor, who'd surrounded himself with a dozen policemen and kept nervously fingering the white feather he'd received, sent for Greg.
I can't stand this much longer, Collins. Only two of us are left. Myself and Victor Dundas. He's our controller. He was the fourth man in the crowd.
Mr. Mayor, this note came for you. It's from Vic Dundas.
Thank you, Don.
What's it say?
Vic says he received a white feather. I'll try to get him on the phone. He should have called me. He could be dead by now.
Tell him he'll be right over. You better order a squad car.
Yes, of course. Hello, Vic. Oh, it's good to hear your voice. You all right? I got your note. Why didn't you call me? I'd have sent a police car. Now, Vic, don't leave your apartment. Lock the door. Don't answer the phone. Keep away from the windows. I'm on my way over with Greg Collins. We'll be there in less than 5 minutes, right? Bye. Come on, Collins.
Craig and the mayor ran to a police car and tore up those cobblestone streets as though they were in a jet-propelled rocket. When they reached Victor Dundas's apartment, they pushed the door open and rushed in.
There's your friend Victor, Mr. Mayor. On the floor of his bedroom.
Victor?
Sliced up like a Christmas turkey. And with the usual trimmings. The long knife and the white feather.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll bring you the climax of the case. The mayor sent for an ambulance, and then he and Greg went downstairs.
Wait.
What for?
The switchboard. The girl's there now. She may have seen someone. Hey, miss.
Yes?
We'd like to ask you a few questions.
I don't know nothing. Honest, I don't.
You weren't here when we came in. Where were you?
Please, do I gotta tell you?
Yeah, you do.
Gee, you'll get me fired if I tell you.
Come on, this is more important than your job.
Well, if you won't tell the boss...
We won't.
Well, I got a boyfriend. He works on a furniture delivery truck, and sometimes when he's in the neighborhood, he stops by to say hello. Today he came by, and in the back of the truck he had a whole living room suite, all laid out so nice. So we sat down on the sofa under the artificial fireplace. You know how it is. We got to talk, and I only was going to stay 2 minutes, but first thing you know, I looked at my watch, and I was gone almost an hour. Well, that's where I was, around the corner for almost an hour. Only if you tell the boss...
We'll keep your secret, Jim. Look, Mr. Mayor, you better get back to your office. There's only one name left on the killer's list, and it's spelled just like yours.
While the mayor returned to his office, Greg called for me at our room.
Sorry to be so long, sweetheart, but after I left the mayor, I stopped over the hall of records, did a little research.
Find anything?
Maybe. Gail, you and I are going to 1785 Lawrence Road.
What's at Lawrence Road?
A rooming house. It's the residence of Mr. Don Martin, the mayor's secretary. The mayor said 15 years is a long time, but it's just possible we'll find something in Don's room that'll tell us if he's the man we're looking for.
He isn't going to welcome this visit.
He isn't going to know about it. He's at City Hall. You and I are going to try a little second story work.
How do you get into his room?
I'm taking a gun along to persuade anybody who tries to stop me.
We reached Don Martin's house in a few minutes. It was a small, old-fashioned apartment house. It had a fire escape. So it wasn't long before Greg and I had gone through Don's window and were rummaging about through his things, and presently we found an old newspaper clipping.
This is from a law journal.
What did it say, Greg?
It's a report of a name change. At a special term of the Supreme Court of the state held in and for the county of Tilton, present, Honorable John H. Cutter, Justice, in the matter of the application of Howard Fraser for leave to assume the name of Donald Martin.
That's it, Greg. Don is Fraser's son.
Now, wait a minute. The court being satisfied by said petition that there is no reasonable objection to the petitioner assuming the name proposed...
Don's the boy who swore he'd kill all four of those men. Oh, come on, we better find him.
He's at City Hall with the mayor. Who's the fourth man on the list?
Greg and I hopped into a cab and came running into City Hall. As we dashed into the mayor's office...
Oh, Mrs. Randall.
Yes, Mr. Collins.
Oh, Mrs. Randall. Oh, where's your husband? Where's the mayor?
Gone out. Why?
Mrs. Randall, your husband's secretary, Don Martin, is actually Howard Fraser, son of the district attorney.
He's what?
I have the evidence here in my hand. Now, we've got to find your husband and tell him.
I can't believe it.
Do you know where he went?
Yes. Yes, he went to our house.
Now? What for?
I see what's happened. My husband said Don called. He said Don told him you wanted him at the house.
I did. I never said
that. It's a trap. Don wanted to get him at the house. Don will kill him.
Call the police. Tell them to give us a prowl car. We're on our way to the mayor's house. If we don't hurry, we'll have to count the dead with an adding machine.
We'll be too late. They've been at the house alone for at least half an hour.
Can't this thing go any faster?
I see them where? Oh, straight ahead. Two men out on the terrace. They're fighting with each other. See? It's Bruce and Don Martin.
Okay, officer, this will do.
Look. Don's got the mayor down. He's trying to strangle him. Oh, yes. Hurry, Mr. Collins. Hurry. Come on, Greg.
Now, pull him apart.
Hold him, men. Hold him. He tried to choke me to death.
He's lying. I was just trying to protect myself. He pulled a gun on me.
You do have a gun on your hand, Mr. Mayor. How come?
Well, I just pulled it out of my pocket.
Better hand it over to the police, haven't you?
Why, sure. I don't need it anymore. Now that we have the killer.
We have the killer, right enough. But it isn't Don Martin. It's you, Mr. Mayor.
Why, you...
Get him, quick!
Oh, you killed them all. You dirt...
Crazy! How could I possibly be the killer?
When your friend Vic Dundas got a white feather, Mr. Mayor, you're supposed to have telephoned him. But that call was a phony. Because the switchboard girl hadn't been at her board for an hour.
Why, that's...
So you did kill them all. You dirty...
Yes, Mr. Mayor. You killed Vic Dundas early in the morning and rigged the rest of it. You killed Roland and Sherman, too. And then you took advantage of the story about the old DA's son to try to blame it on Don Martin.
But why should he want to kill me?
I think he probably has a suicide note already, signed by you, Don, and confessing to all the murders. Take a look in his pockets, men.
No need for that. I admit everything. You got me cold.
But is Don really Mr. Freeze's son?
Yes, Mrs. Collins. But I wasn't out for revenge. I just wanted to forget the whole terrible affair. After all, my father was guilty.
But he wasn't guilty, Don.
What?
I was at the Hall of Records today. I saw enough there to convince me that Randall and his associates didn't reluctantly testify against your father. They framed him.
Yes, of course. I see it all now. I know why he killed those other three. He wanted all the profits for himself.
Is that right, Randall?
We had a deal. Some of them wanted bigger cuts. I stood to make a quarter of a million if I got rid of the others.
Put him in the police car, men. And don't give him any chance to commit suicide.
No. Keep him alive. I want to see him on trial.
Greg and I got out of that gloomy town as quickly as we could and drove right onto New Orleans, which was our original intention. We were driving through the Southwest on a kind of vacation. And this was a violent interruption. Of course, in New Orleans, we listened to Boogie Piano on Bourbon Street, had Pompano at Antoine's, and we were strolling back to the hotel one night, sort of ambling through the French Quarter.
It's wonderful to be on vacation. Again?
Greg, wait. Stand still. Remember the night at the mayor's plantation? When we talked about the people on the moon?
Yes, ma'am.
You started to kiss me, but we were interrupted. You never finished.
Well, I'd better call a meeting to order then and take up the unfinished business.
I don't know about the moon, but things down here are wonderful. Oh, just wonderful. Footnote to the story. If you're interested in astronomy, there are two ways to study the moon. One is with a textbook and a telescope. Then there's the other way. Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
We hope you've enjoyed tonight's production. On Monday evening, we'll have a mystery from The Haunting Hour and a story bearing the title, If the Shoe Fits. May we reserve a seat for you? Curtain time is 11:25 in the WLW Theater of Suspense.